The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
This might be one of the most unusual podcasts we put together, but I'm going to tell you, I've been working for weeks on this. I'm so excited. We have a theme for our podcast. It's road trips. And we have two guests on our podcast. They're going to talk about road trips. Guest number one, Academy Award-winning actress Helen Mirren. Yes, that's right. She's on our podcast today. She actually just finished production, and it's opening a brand new film called The Leisure Seeker, and it stars her and Donald Sutherland. It's about a road trip across America. It's a love story. And she's going to join us to talk about the movie and also talk a little about that way of traveling, road tripping in America. Probably the only time you'll ever hear an interview with Helen Mirren where she talks about road tripping across America. And also on our show today is Mickey Rapkin, and he is a travel writer. And I'm going to tell you right now, before we have Mickey on the air, he's written something that you are very familiar with, and you'll say to yourself, oh, I didn't know he wrote that. He's also a travel writer, and he wrote an article in Men's Journal this month about a road trip in Argentina on their Route 66. It's called Route 44, Route 40. It's actually got a different name, but it's Argentina's Route 66. We'll talk to Mickey about that also on the podcast today. But let's start with someone I'm so excited to have on our podcast. Please welcome Helen Mirren. Good afternoon, Helen.
Hi, Hawkeye. Where did you get that name from? I'm sorry to ask you that.
Oh, no, you're welcome to ask me that. It's from The Last of the Mohicans, the book Last of the Mohicans.
Oh, that's right. Last of the Mohicans, yes. I was thinking it was from MASH, but it's not from MASH. Wasn't there a Hawkeye in MASH? No.
Yes, there was a Hawkeye in MASH also, which is, by the way, where he got his nickname from, his dad who loved that book.
No, that's funny. Funny, but you come from the authentic original.
There you go. I can't wait to talk to you. I've been so excited about talking to you, and everybody's been telling me, have you talked to Helen yet? When do you talk to Helen? Even my wife is like so envious that I'm getting to talk to you this morning.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you, all of those lovely people.
First of all, I have to ask you about the Academy Awards. And you were there. You were the spokesmodel for the jet ski at the very beginning of the show.
Also present with the legendary Jane Fonda.
Yes.
Which actually, for me, was the highlight of the evening, you know. but I did also, present the jet ski, which was a lovely idea of Jimmy Kimmel's. I think they thought, we've got to give this jet ski away. Who would be the most ridiculous person to put next to the jet ski? And they obviously came up with my name.
Well, I don't want to diminish your other accomplishments. And of course, you are an Academy Award-winning actress, and you did present with Jane Fonda. But I have to ask, did they really give the jet ski away? I mean, at the end of the show?
Oh, yes, no, absolutely. No, they said that, you know, there are all kinds of legal things attached. If you say you're going to give something away, you've got to give that thing away, absolutely. And the man who won it was a costume designer. He was sweet, you know, costume, you know. And he was absolutely thrilled. It was great.
Well, that is so cool. Well, I told you I'm so excited to talk to you because one of my all-time favorite scenes in a movie, it's such a simple scene, but I think of it all the time, and I actually watched it before our interview here today, and it's in the movie 100 Foot Journey, which I absolutely love, and it's such a simple scene where you, as the restaurateur, can tell with just one bite from an omelet if the cook is indeed talented or not. And the brilliant part about that scene is at the very beginning of it, when you take a bite, they don't show your face. They just show you from the back. And you have to convey that, yes, this omelet is incredible. And I love that scene because it's so majestic. It's so brilliant the way that you played that. And I've always wondered if there was thought put into that before that scene, if they told you we're not even going to show your face at the beginning, how did that come about?
You know, I can't remember. I love playing with my back. Because I think a back is a very expressive thing. You don't need a face. When you're playing with your back to the audience, you know, it's your whole body. It's all to do with what happens in the shoulders and the angle of the head and stuff like that. And you can express so much with your back. So it might have been my idea, but it might not have been my idea. I can't actually remember, but Lasse Hallström, who was the director of 100 Foot Journeys, is a wonderful director. So whoever's idea it is in a situation like that, if it works, it works. So, we're all happy.
Well, it worked. That's one of my favorite scenes in a movie.
Thank you. I love that. I love that you saw that. That's really great.
It's such a beautiful movie, too, and it's on so many different levels, and I just love that one scene. And now you've got a new movie out with Donald Sutherland called The Leisure Seeker, and which is a kind of a road movie, but not really a road movie. It's more of a love story, is it not?
Yes, it is. It's about love. It certainly is about love. And it is very much a road movie, in the classic genre of road movies. Two characters hit the road, and what happens to them along the way, kind of thing. In this story, it's two older people who are facing major sort of physical challenges, and how are they going to deal with this, and why are they going anyway? So it's a film about the end of life. It's about what happens at the end of, and they lived happily ever after. We're looking at the ever after, but it's done with a great deal of comedy and absurdity, which appeals to me because I find life like that anyway. There is such comedy. Not sort of laugh out loud comedy, but the absurdity of life often strikes me.
Speaking of road trips, I was reading in the New York Times that you and your husband took a road trip across the U.S. And when you're looking for furniture for your house, you were out of a van and you're driving across the U.S. And you're talking
Absolutely.
About how so much of the U.S. looks the same when you travel. And I just think you hit the nail on the head there.
Well, the geography doesn't look the same. The geography changes spectacularly and beautifully. But it is sort of weird that you drive for like 3 hours and you come into another town, and that town that you're driving into looks exactly like the one you left, 3 or 4 hours ago, exactly the same shops in the same configuration, in the same sort of shopping mall with the same sort of architecture. So that is alarming. But I've always felt that, in fact, although there is that similarity all the way across America of these huge chain stores and so forth, there is actually a massive diversity in America. Even with the accent, you think of how the American accent changes from area to area to area. And also, I think people are formed by their geography. So someone who lives in a high desert has a different attitude to life than to someone who maybe lives in the swamps of Louisiana.
Yes.
America is a country that absolutely fascinates me, and I've always wondered. I am a foreigner. I am an immigrant. I've always been fascinated by what people mean when they say I'm an American. Do they mean I'm a New Yorker, I'm an Alabamian, I'm
a Texan,
I'm from Ohio,
yeah.
I'm a Texan, in Texas. Texas is massive. My God, you could sort of fit like 20 Great Britons into Texas. Do you mean I'm a Houstonian or a, how do you say, someone from Dallas?
A Dallasite.
A Dallasite.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Things that fall from the ceiling in caves, stalactites, a Dallasite. What do they mean, actually? And I thought, that's why 9/11, I found 9/11 so incredibly moving, because I thought at that moment, all of Americans
yes.
knew who they were. They knew they were Americans.
That's so poignant. That's so true. I felt the exact same. I felt we were all New Yorkers. We were all Americans after 9/11. Before I let you go, I read one thing, too, and I wanted to ask you this. It said, when you travel, you don't pack anything but underwear, and you buy all your clothes at a thrift shop as soon as you get to your destination.
It depends where I'm going. If I'm going to a very cold place, and I'm not only going to be there for a couple of weeks, yes, I do that. Because when you're somewhere very cold, everybody looks the same. They're all wearing their duvet, with big boots. There's no fashion going on at all in a very cold place. So, yes, I go to a thrift store. I buy the boots, I buy the gloves, I buy the hat, I buy the coat. And then when I leave, I go back to the thrift store and I give it all back again. So, because that stuff is so big, bulky to carry, you know, it's like hard. So I can walk into a cold place with a really small suitcase.
Has anybody ever said when you were walked into a thrift store, like, oh my gosh, is that Helen Mirren coming into this thrift store?
They probably do, but I judiciously ignore them and get on with what I got to do.
Helen, it was a total pleasure to talk to you today. Continued success, and I wish great things for the Leisure Seeker. I recommend it for everybody.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Certainly a thrill to have Helen Mirren on our podcast. So we shift from her experiences from a road trip to an article I read about a fantastic road trip in Men's Journal about a place in Argentina that's dubbed the Route 66 of Argentina. And the author of that article, Mickey Rapkin, joins us now on the podcast.
Finally, me and Dame Helen back together. Never met her.
Well, first of all, before we get into the article that I read in Men's Journal, and I really enjoyed it, I want to kind of tell everybody a little bit about what else you do, because people are probably familiar with one of your most famous works, and that would be a book.
Yes, I wrote a book called Pitch Perfect, which inspired the franchise, the movies.
Yes, I hope you get a lot of mailbox money for that, Mickey.
The whole thing is a miracle. I mean, the whole thing started because I sang in one of those groups in college.
Uh-huh.
And this is just sort of like the greatest comeback story of my life. This thing that everyone made fun of me for. Look at it now.
Well, when you know, it's funny because like you said, you sang in college and you wrote a book about it. And then how long after you write the book did it get picked up as a motion picture?
You know, it got optioned right away. And then it just takes a while to actually make these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But Elizabeth Banks is like, she's the genius, the reason it happened. You know, she tracked me down, you know, told me all these things would happen. I was like, I'm never going to see this woman again in my life. And then she did everything she said she was going to do. She's a genius.
Wow, that is kind of a cool story. And, you know, it's funny because I bet there's people who, when you tell them that or they hear about it, they're like, whatever, you did not write that.
I mean, people are always generally surprised, but I don't know. The movie is such a sweet story. This great screenwriter, Kay Cannon, wrote the script, and she's a hilarious genius. The whole thing's been a miracle.
It is really a neat story. And by the way, you've got a new book coming out called Theater Geek.
Yeah, the book's out now. It's great. It's a super fun story about this theater camp in the Catskills that all these famous people went to when they were kids. You know, Natalie Portman, Robert Downey Jr., Ansel Elgort, Leah Michelle. I mean, there's tons of all these people went to this camp, and I sort of went there to investigate, was there something in the water there that you know, inspired all these people? It was just a super fun book.
Well, let's kind of go from there to what else you do. You also write for a whole host of magazines, GQ. I saw you in Men's Journal. And you write a particular article that I was really interested in. That's why I kind of did some research into you. Like, oh my gosh, this guy is pitch perfect. But I want to talk a little bit about the article you wrote about a trip in Argentina, a road trip on what you called Argentina's Route 66.
Yeah, you know, there's this long stretch in Argentina called Ruta 40, which is, you know, their Route 66. It runs from one length of the country all the way to the other. And you know, there's like this national point of pride about this road, and you know, all these gauchos have written songs about Ruta 40. And so I went to sort of explore a part of it. But the funny thing about it is, you know, it's a legendary road, but it's also in many parts not paved. It's literally just a dirt road, and it's just amazing. You can see sort of, you just learn so much culture passing along this road.
Yeah, the interesting thing I got from your article is how much variety there is in, one, the landscape of Argentina, and secondly, the people and the culture in Argentina. And you almost discover the whole thing while you're driving on this road.
Yeah, I mean, I could not believe what I saw staring out the window. You know, literally, I passed through this national forest, which is these 25-foot-tall cactus trees. I mean, it was literally like you woke up in a Dr. Seuss book. I could not believe how tall these cactus trees were. And then, you know, I don't know, a half hour later, you're passing through these gorgeous red rocks, just red, red rocks. Then you end up in Las Salinas Grandes, which are these salt flats, which, I mean, it literally looks like you're walking on the moon. It's just white, white, white salt flats as far as you can see. It was unbelievable. I could not believe what I was staring at.
Yeah, and you went a circular route. So how long did it take you to travel this whole route via, I guess you are some type of four-wheel drive vehicle?
Yeah, I was in just sort of like a pickup truck. And I didn't do the whole route. The whole Route 40 goes up and down the length of the country. I did kind of a loop of Route 40 at the top of the in the sort of northwest pocket, this area called Salta, and just really explored up there. And yeah, I sort of did like a 5-day leisurely. Yeah, you're not like powering through. It's
yeah,
let's drive like 4 hours. We'll explore, check into a really cool local hotel, have a great dinner, listen to some music, and then you know wake up the next day and do it all over again.
Yeah, I don't think people.
And, like, you pass through a wine country. Like it's a really beautiful section of the country that. That people don't really explore as much.
Yeah, I don't think people, first of all, realize how big Argentina is. I mean, how far south it goes. I mean, it gets very, very cold in the southern end of Argentina.
Yeah, you know, it's like everybody hears, you know, I sort of make this joke in the piece about how, like, this is the one pocket of Argentina that hasn't been ruined by, like, your friends from work and their Instagram feed. You know, it's like everyone goes, like, oh, we went to Patagonia on our honeymoon and here, you know, which is awesome. Like, I'm all explore those places. It's not like Patagonia is, like, uncool. It's awesome. But this is just this tiny pocket where you're really meeting local people who don't often meet tourists. And, you know, you're just pulling over to a roadside empanada joint and having like the most delicious lunch for nothing and talking to people and just seeing this sort of beautiful geology.
How did you find out about this place? Because I've never heard of it till I read your article.
You know, it's funny. You know, this company called Black Tomato helped me put this trip together. They're sort of this really sort of luxury travel company out of the UK. And they kind of put these custom adventures together for people. So, you know, you kind of call them up and you're like, hey, I want to do this. And they'll help arrange. It's not about staying in the expensive hotel. You know, it's not about where do I get the best craft cocktail. You know, it's about they're helping you find, like, the cool local guide that's actually going to show you what this place is about. And so anyway, I was talking to them about I really wanted to go to Argentina, and they're like, well, this is the place that even some locals are still discovering. And I don't know, it seemed like HBO's Westworld, like, come to life. Like, I could go there for 5 days and kind of pretend to be a cowboy and then come home, you know, back to my boring old life.
It seemed like it's such a great adventure, too. And I'm glad you brought that up about Black Tomato, because I wanted to ask you about that. Because in your article here, there's a little subset about custom travel. And I think a lot of people who listen to my podcast and the show are very interested in something like this, maybe not here, but somewhere else in the world. And,
exactly.
And would you recommend, like, Black Tomato? And there's a couple others
Tomato,
in there.
Honestly, it was. It doesn't come cheap, I'm not going to lie, but it is amazing. You know, you tell them what you're interested in, and they really customize this experience. And, you know, a week before you leave, this package comes to the mail. It's like, here's a great novel you should read that's set in the place that you're going to. And download this app, because we're going to put your entire, we're going to put your whole itinerary on this app, and it's sort of updated daily. It's just like, you don't have to think about anything except the experience, which I feel like we're all so busy now, and we're all exhausted with work and family. I mean, those are the great parts of life, but when you get away, you really want to get away. And I didn't have to think about a thing, and I knew I was seeing something authentic. It's not like I feel like we have this idea of, like, calling a travel agent. Like, who would call a travel agent? That feels like 1970. Mm-hmm. But this company is like, it's a modern sort of travel experience, and they customize it for you. So you're really going to make the most of every day. Like, I never would have found, like, the best part of the trip was almost on the last day. We stopped at this, it was like a little baby winery. You know, they produce like 20,000 bottles a year or something. And they also, they're really known for these peppers. They grow all these peppers and they dry them out and, you know, sell them. And there's just fields of, you know, red, beautiful, gorgeous red peppers on the floor drying. And we pulled over at this lunch spot, and this guy came out. His, like, Wi-Fi was down, the owner of this little restaurant. And he just pulled up a chair. He's like, let's have lunch. And suddenly, like, all this food is appearing, and he's telling us these stories about how he sees, like, UFOs, and he's opening all these bottles of wine that he made. And it's just, like, you're really check out of your own head.
Yeah, I was really intrigued by this, too, because just one, the experience that you had, and you did such a great job in the article talking about, too, the experience you had is really very different from most people's travel experiences, because you're kind of, for lack of a better term, off the beaten path. And it's like you said, it's a place where people in Argentina are still discovering. And so, you know, someone who lives in the United States, it'd be very hard to kind of, you know, even if I read your article and wanted to do this on my own, which you tell them how to do. You have that in your article, how you would do it.
Yes, you can definitely do it alone if you can drive a four-wheel drive vehicle better than I can.
Yes, but still, and you know, you wouldn't know where to stop, and you wouldn't know, you know, or you might miss something, or like, man, I should have gone down that road down there. I didn't know it was down that little, you know, that little small road over there. And so that's why I was so intrigued by these custom travel places, and it's something definitely I would check out. As you said, it's not cheap. It's not so over the top, but definitely very different than getting on a bus and going through Europe.
Yeah, it's not like exactly. You're not with like 40, you know, retirees. It's like, it's just you and a driver and a guide. Uh-huh. And you're just talking for 4 days and just learning about local politics and what makes these people tick. And it was really a beautiful way to travel. And listen, I've been to I love nothing more than to go to Japan and just by myself and explore and not have a destination in mind. But this is I have 5 days. I'm going to go to Argentina and I'm going to really see something.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, what
a fantastic. Don't have to worry about that you missed something.
What a fantastic trip it was, and it's a great article. It's in Men's Journal. It's their latest issue, their March issue. It's called Argentina's Route 66. And Mickey Rapkin, thank you so much for hanging with us. Tell us a little bit about your trip and also how you planned it, and continued success.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. A couple of notes before we put away this podcast for this week. First of all, go to our website, travelwithhawkeye.net. I'll have links to the article that Mickey talked about and also a trailer for the movie The Leisure Seeker that Helen Mirren's in. Thank you so much both to Mickey and, of course, to Helen Mirren, who started out the podcast. What a thrill it was to have both of them here, and I really appreciate their time. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits. This has been the Travel with Hawkeye podcast.